If you take your Bibles and turn with me to Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11. And I've got four lessons on murmuring. Four things we can learn concerning murmuring using the children of Israel as our springboard. They are a type of God's church. And so we begin our reading in verse 1 here. It says, "And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and His anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and Moses prayed unto the Lord, and the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taborah, because the fire of the Lord burned among them. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic." They're really embellishing there, aren't they? Really going overboard with this nostalgia that they had. But now, our soul is dried away, and there is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. And the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof was the color of bdellium. And the people went about and gathered it, and ground it in meals, and beat it in a mortar, and baked it in pans, and made cakes of it. And it tasted, the taste of it was like the taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it." Now, here we have too familiar a scene. This is too familiar as you read through the history of Egypt, of Israel traveling from Egypt to the land of Canaan. You read this over and over again. They complained. They murmured. They were disquieted. They were discontent with their lot, with their circumstance. They were dissatisfied with the manna that God had provided them. And what did they want? They wanted some flesh. They wanted some meat instead of the manna. Now, you see that their murmuring was no light thing. This was not a light thing in the eyes of God. The Scripture says that God was displeased. And not only was He displeased, His anger was kindled against them. His anger was kindled against them so that He sent a fire. He sent a fire out among the camp, and it burned the outermost part of the camp. And then what happened? The people cried. This is another familiar scene. After the Lord comes in chastisement, what happens? The people cried and said, "Save us." And Moses, what did he do? He prayed. He interceded for them before the Lord. And God's wrath, God's anger was stayed. The fire was quenched. Now you suppose that would have been enough. The Lord sent a fire and burned a whole bunch of people on the outside of the camp because they complained. You suppose that would have silenced the complaints. The fear of God, the justice of God would have stopped their mouths. But we notice this right after this. Look in verse 4. There's a mixed multitude among them that fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again, saying what? Who shall give us flesh to eat? This mixed multitude was both of Israel and those that had joined them along the way, the Gentiles that had come along with them. It was this group who longed for the fish and the cucumbers and the garlands and the garlic and the melons of Egypt. They said, "Hey, we ate freely." You remember that? These Gentiles, they say, "Look, hey, we remember back in Egypt, we ate so much. We're out here and all we got this little seed that grows up on the ground and we eat this stuff and, you know, it's just not really filling. I'm just not satisfied with it. And the people of Israel go, well, you know what? You're right. You're right. And so they all, with one accord, begin to complain. But we know this was a lie. That wasn't true. They were slaves in Egypt. They're looking back with rose-colored glasses. It wasn't true. They were in captivity. And the cause of this complaint, what caused this complaint, was a result of resulted again in the anger of the Lord being kindled against them because, listen, they hated the manna. This was the root cause, is that the manna was distasteful to them. It was not sufficient to satisfy the lust of their flesh. They hated the manna. In verse 6, you can read this. They said, but our soul is dried away, and there is nothing beside this manna. This manna. These people, they loathe this light bread that God had sent. And listen, they didn't work for it. They didn't labor for it. Every day it came down from heaven, and all they had to do was pick it up off the ground and put it in a bucket and bring it home. And yet this was not enough. They said, oh, my soul's dried up. I'm just tired of this stuff. I'm tired of getting this manna every day. This bread was not enough. They wanted flesh. They wanted meat to eat. And God said this. He said, you want meat? Well, I'll give you meat. Look at this in verse 18. Look at this in verse 18. And say thou to the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and you shall eat flesh. For you have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in the land of Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and you shall eat. And you shall not eat 1 day, or 2 days, or 5 days, or 10 days, or 20 days, but a whole month, until it comes out your nose. And it will be loathsome unto you, because you have despised the Lord which is among you. You have wept before Him, saying, why came we forth out of Egypt? And the Lord, He sent quails to them. Verse 31. And there went forth a wind from the Lord, and brought quails from the sea, and let them fall on the camp. And it was as a day's journey on this side, and as it were a day's journey on the other side, round about the camp, as it was 2 cubits high upon the face of the earth. And so what happened when these things fell is they consumed them. Now look at this in verse 32. The people stood up all day and all night and the next day, and they gathered quail, and they gathered 10 homers, and they spread them all abroad for themselves round about the camp. And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere they chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against them, and the Lord smote the people with a great plague. Now, listen, this is how greedy they were for these quail. When you picked up the manna, God said you were to get 1 omer, 3 quarts. That's what was sufficient for the day. You get the sufficient for the day. You couldn't store up that manna. You had to actually eat it that day. And you would get it the next day. 1 omer. Now listen, they had 10 homers. One commentator said that was 10 ass loads of quail. They loaded down 10 donkeys full of quail. And what was the result of their greed? And I want you to see how many quail there were. It says a day's journey in each direction. One commentator said that was 16 to 20 miles in each direction. And these quail were piled up 2 to 3 foot high in each direction. Now, God sent a lot of quail. You figure that, hey, look, there's enough to go around. What do they do? They said, oh, no. And they gathered it all. They loaded all their asses with this quail. And they couldn't even wait to get home. They couldn't even wait to cook it. They were so greedy for this that they ate it raw. And the Lord was angry at this. They put blood in their mouth. It was against His law. And God, they gave in to their greed, and their end of this lust was death. Death. Because they despised the manna and greedily ate the flesh, many died. Now, there are many lessons that we can learn from, as children of God, from this history. And I pray God would teach us. And this is the lesson, discontentment. Discontentment and murmuring concerning God's manna. God's manna, which we know this, is Christ. Manna pictured Christ. And it is displeasing to God. We like these Israelites, who are a picture and type of the spiritual Israel of God. I know this. There was a mixed multitude among this people. Isn't that right? The Scripture says there was a mixed multitude. Even so among the church, listen, there's a mixed multitude, isn't there? There are believers and there are those who are false professors of faith in Christ. And our Lord told us this, that there be tares among the wheat, goats among the sheep. And this will happen until He returns and separates. One thing it's not for us to decide is who's who. It's not for us to pick and choose, okay, well, I think, well, Scott, you sure look like a tare. No, that's not for us. Scott, you look like we. It doesn't matter what I think. It's not for us to pick those out. But we are to be aware of this, because this all started with who? It started with the unbelievers. It started with that group who were not part of Israel. And so, to guard against this, what's the simple thing that we do? We preach the gospel. It is our purpose always to preach the gospel, which is what? It is the manna from heaven. We preach Christ. We preach Christ. We preach the gospel of Christ. I must preach this gospel. I will preach this gospel of Christ and Him crucified. I'll declare the grace of God in sovereign free election, that the Father chose a people before the foundation of the world. That the Father in great grace put them in Christ and purposed that by Him they should be saved. Now this is the manna. This is the gospel. This is what God's people feed on. This is what we are nourished by. It is the gospel of Christ. We set forth the great person of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is God and man. God manifest in the flesh, born of the virgin's womb. He that dwelt among us as our representative man. We hold Him forth. This is the manna. As the manna rained down every day, what we do in this place is we preach Christ. And God causes that bread to come down and sets that bread before you. You see how He was holy? When He came into the world, He was holy and righteous and just. He honored the law of God in every jot and tittle. He was obedient even unto death. Behold how He in the flesh was crucified. How God imputed our sins to Him. How God poured out His wrath on Christ, made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we, sinners, might be made the righteousness of God in Him. This is the manna. This is the manna we eat. We eat this manna by faith. That justice now is satisfied. This is that fresh oil. That's what that manna tasted like, fresh oil, didn't it? It's fresh. It's continually new. That Christ has satisfied God's justice. And we know His words are very clear. It is finished. It's finished. God is satisfied. Therefore, he in boldness said, all that the Father had given me shall come to me. Him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. I will lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. How do you know that? Because he's successful. This is the manna that comes down from heaven. This is the gospel message pictured by the manna. And we preach the triumphant risen Christ, don't we? We preach Christ crucified, yes. Christ satisfying the justice of God by His death. Yet we also preach the resurrection of Christ. We serve a risen Savior. A risen Savior. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And He's sitting on the throne right now. And as you see the events of our day unfold, who's doing that? It's Christ. It's Christ. Sharon and I were talking about this the other day. We remembered a message Don preached, all things, all things. It said, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them are the called according to His purpose. And He said this, He said, I'm going to tell you something real deep. Let me tell you what all things mean. He said, it means this. It means all. All things. How can we know that all things work together for our good? Because Christ is risen. Christ is seated on the right hand of the majesty on high, expecting till His enemies be made His footstool. He is ruling right now. We're not waiting for Christ to rule, are we? We're not waiting for some mythological 1,000 years for Christ to come down and rule. He's ruling right now over all things. For what purpose? To give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. This is the message that we preach. That God has a people, and Christ is going to apply the Spirit of God to those people. He is going to quicken them. He's going to give them life. He's going to give them faith. Not only that, He has orchestrated their whole life, all of our trials, all of our difficulties, all of our troubles, all of our joys, all of our triumphs are orchestrated by Jesus Christ. For what? Our growth, His glory, the furtherance of the gospel. That's what this is. And why didn't God just take you home when He saved you? Because there are more of us. There are more to come. And what He does is allows us to be used in this glorious thing of preaching the gospel. He allows us to support it. He allows us to attend to it. He allows us to preach it. He allows us to witness to it. He's going to call His people. And so how does He do this? Through the preaching of the gospel. This is the means by which the manna is distributed. That's it. Isn't it wonderful? Every morning they just woke up and it was there. You know, the manna just was there. Like the dew. You know, you really don't see the dew come down, do you? You don't see it. You stand out all night and put your hands out like this. You don't feel it coming down. But you bend down, you touch it, it's there. That's the way the gospel is, isn't it? One day you were dead, and all of a sudden, it's there. You have life. You have faith. You're disquieted. You're troubled. And then you hear the gospel, it's like dew. It's just there. And you're comforted. You're refreshed. You're encouraged. It's manna for the soul. And just like the manna, we don't take 10 ass loads of it. We don't store it up. We eat what is sufficient for the day. Faith now is what is important. Not faith yesterday, not faith tomorrow, faith now. Eating the manna today. Christ is the bread of life. We eat Him today. And by this we are strengthened, we are encouraged. Christ is this manna. He said that, didn't He? He told us He was the manna. So every time you read this in the Old Testament, you are reading Christ. He said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. Not that your fathers ate and they're dead. But he that eats me will live forever. How do you do that? You believe. You trust. You receive him. That's what that word says in John, as many as received him. To them gave he the right, the power, to become the sons of God. That's what that word means. You just, if you're thirsty and you got a glass of water, you take that glass and you pour it down your throat. That's exactly what it means, to receive it. Do you need Christ? Anybody thirsty for Christ? Anybody hungry for Christ? Do you hunger for righteousness? Receive Him. Believe on Him. Now, when you do that, you get no glory for it, do you? You get nothing for that. You didn't actually have the power to do it. Which were born, not of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So we receive Him. He's this manna. And so then we say to what? Hungry sinners, believe on Him, trust Him. And we who eat of Him, we find Him to be our life. Not just a sustainer of my physical life, He is. But He is the sustainer of my spiritual life. Why is it that I'm still spiritually alive? Now, I was born again quite a few years ago. Why am I still alive? Why have I not died spiritually again? Because He sustains it. He is the sustainer of our life. He is all our salvation. He is all our joy. He is all our peace. He is all our desire. One have I desired, David said, and that will I seek after. Scripture says, Jesus said, one thing is needful. Isn't that right? One thing is needful. What kind of food did Israel need? What did they need? They only needed one kind. Manna. God provided it. All they do is pick it up, eat it. No work, no labor. That's what it is to receive Christ. It's no work, no labor. Believe on Him. But I'll tell you what, in the congregation of the righteous, there's always a mixed group. A mixed group in the local earthly church that will never be satisfied with Christ alone. Just in this group, there was a group of people in this Israel that was not satisfied with that manna. And so it will be in the church. There will always be a group that is not satisfied with this bread. They said, our soul is dried up. It's not enough. We must have more. They say, there's got to be something more than Christ. I remember having a friend that said that to me. We were supposedly brothers in Christ. And one day he came to me and said, you know, Fred, there's got to be more than Christ. I said, no. No, there's not more than Christ. It's only Christ. We've got
to have the manna, but there's got to be something better tasting than this.
They got to hear something more. They profess to believe the gospel, but they say we got to move on to other things. The church has got to get out of this. You get people in by the gospel, but you got to keep them. You got to keep them. You got to entertain them. You got to use all kinds of carnal means. In other words, they desire, like these people, to eat flesh. And they loathe the gospel of Christ. You know, as long as I pastor here, that's my hope and prayer, is that I have this same message every time. No matter where I go in Scripture, I want you to see Christ. But some people will creep into the church and they lust after other things. And so they want to allure, they try to allure God's people. And listen, these people were successful in alluring Israel, weren't they? The mixed multitude began to cry, "We want flesh." And what? It wasn't long before Israel was saying, "Yeah, that sounds pretty good. That sounds pretty good." They try to allure God's people into revolting. And they begin a constant and perpetual discontentment. And they appeal to the fleshly nature even of the true believers. I tell you, and as you know, discontentment is a very contagious thing. Murmuring is a contagious thing. Why? It appeals to our nature. It appeals to the flesh of our nature. These mixed multitudes begin to spout out these lies. Oh, remember when? Remember when? We had flesh in Egypt. Remember that? All the cucumbers and garlics. That was a lie. That was a lie. Remember, they were slaves. They were given the leftovers. Listen, so it is with sin. These men were trying to appeal to the flesh. Remember how great it was before you came to Christ? Listen, coming to Christ is not an easy road, is it? Our road is full of trouble, difficulties, trials, pains. And I'll tell you this, it's awful tempting to be nostalgic about our past. Man, I sure had it better back in the good old days. It appeals to our flesh to try to remember them as more than they actually were. Sometimes we look at the world and we say, look how great they have it. Here we are. We're believers. We're children of God, and yet we suffer. We're afflicted. We're full of sorrow and pain and misery. And look at the world. They're happy. Ever go on Facebook? See that? I scroll through. I don't see anybody suffering. Seems like everybody's just having a great time. Their families are all good. Nobody's having any troubles. No, it's just what they want you to see. But the world looks like it's having a good time. Isn't that what Asa found? You go to Psalm 73 and you read that godly man in Psalm 73. He said this. He said, "I know God's good to Israel. But as for me, I don't know. My foot nigh well slipped." Why? Because he saw the suffering of the righteous and the prosperity of the wicked. He said, there's no bands in their death. They don't even fear death. They shake their fist in the face of God and nothing happens. Nothing happens. They only increase in riches and power and honor. This, no doubt, troubles us in our flesh. It moves the believer. It moves the believer to murmur. Just like it did these Israelites. They heard what these unbelievers were saying, and they joined in. It appealed to their flesh, and it wasn't long that they were joining in the complaint. They were joining in the murmuring. But only by the Word of God was Asa made ashamed. And I'll tell you, that's the only way we're going to be made ashamed of murmuring. Are you murmuring? Have you murmured? Do you complain? The only way we're going to be made ashamed, when we should be ashamed of murmuring. We should be ashamed seeing what Christ has accomplished, what God has given us in Christ. We should all be ashamed when we complain. But I'll tell you this, we're not going to be until we hear the Word of God. That's when Asa found out and said, look, see, he saw their end. He was able by the Scriptures to put things in perspective. He says, saw their end. Listen, the end of sin is always misery. You got that? The end of sin is never what it promises. It's misery and pain and death. So, believer, let us pray to keep our minds and hearts from such lust of the flesh. Let us not be allured by those who are in the uttermost parts of the church. those who pretend to be one of us but are liars, those who creep in and allure us in rebellion against our first love. And how are these men manifest? They're seen by their lust and greed for more than the gospel of Christ. Listen, if a man wants more than Christ, get away from him. If a man is murmuring and complaining about this gospel, get away from it. Get away from it. You see, what this gospel does is it doesn't amuse and it doesn't entertain. It abases man and exalts God. Always. It exposes sin and gives the remedy. That's what it does. Every time the gospel exposes our sin, when I say murmuring, who's not guilty of that? We're guilty of that. Exposes our sin. We're rather to be abased by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And by this same gospel, God gives us the commands of Christ that we as His children ought to obey, which is what? Faith and love. Faith. What was the command of Israel? Eat the manna. It was a simple command, wasn't it? Believe God. Eat the manna. Instead, they wanted more. Does your heart want more than Christ? Oh, God, help us when it wants more than Christ. Now, I got four things. I know I'm going to have to hurry. Four things about discontentment. Let's see some of these things. First of all, I want you to see this. If you're a believer in Christ, discontentment displeases God. Isn't that reason enough not to do it? It displeases God. Isn't that what he says in the first verse there? He says, they complained, it displeased the Lord. It displeased him. Over in verse 10. And Moses heard the people weep throughout their families and every man in the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. What were they weeping for? Not because of their sin. They were weeping because they didn't have what they want in the flesh. They weren't satisfied. Give us more. I want more. And God says, His anger was kindled greatly. In verse 33, it says it again. And while the flesh was between their teeth, ere they was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against them. Now let us look upon a man who's without home or food. Think about a man who's homeless. You see him on the street all the time, a man homeless. He's got nothing. He's a simple man, unable to provide for his basic needs. Now, what if you were to take pity on that man? You look at that man and your heart is overwhelmed with compassion. You say, come home with me. Come home with me. And this man, you get him in your house, you give him a job, you give him a car, you give him new clothes, you clean him up. You give him all that he needs. But by and by, this man starts to complain. He starts to murmur about his wages. He curses you. He says, my car's not good enough. My car's not good as your car. I want a car like yours. My food doesn't taste as good as your food. I want your food. And he mocks you with his friends. He curses your name. He grumbles against you all the time. How fast would you kick that man out your house? Would you not be displeased? You bet. That guy wouldn't last 5 seconds in my home, murmuring and complaining like that. How much worse is man? Man has no value whatsoever. He can provide nothing for himself. He can't breathe on his own. He can't provide his own food. He can't provide his own shelter. God supplies everything. Yet man rebelled and squandered his inheritance. And yet God still provides. Isn't that right? In Adam, we all squandered our inheritance. And yet, look, God reigns on the just as well as the unjust. God sustains his life and daily gives him what he needs. And yet, what does he do? He constantly defies God's rule. He says this, "I will not have this man to rule over me." How foolish it is for a man to quarrel against God. Isn't that right? Isn't that the most foolish thing in the world, to quarrel with God? But that's what murmuring is. Make no mistake about it. It is fighting against God. You are discontent with what God has given you. You're discontent with it. You're warring against God. Now, it's bad enough for a lost man to do that. We would, matter of fact, we'd expect that, right? Because that's his nature. How much worse is it then for a child of God to do it? How much worse is it for a child of God, one who's been quickened to life and faith in Christ, a believer in Christ, one has received of the hand of God eternal life, chosen of God, loved of God? Has not God sent us His Son to die in our stead? Has He not put us in union with Christ? Behold the love of God who sent His Son to redeem us. Don't you know this? You've been bought with a price. All right, believer, are you your own? Do you belong to yourself? No. We belong to Him. We are His servants. We are His children. And behold the love of our Savior to lay down His life and bear our sins in His own body on the tree. He said this, "Is there any sorrow like unto my sorrow?" You got sorrow? What about His sorrow? He said, "I restored that which I took not away. Behold, that we have sinned. We have rebelled against our God. We were lost and undone without God and without His Son. But in grace," what? "He reached way down for me. He saved me. I had no value. I was like the man on the street. I could not provide for myself any life, any faith, any love. And He brought me in and gave me everything. He dwells in us. So we who believe on Christ, we only believe because He gave us faith. We only love Him because He first loved us. But now by divine providence, we may be in some trouble. We may be in some difficulty. We may, by divine providence, we are led to some point in time, some sorrow and suffering. The way may be hard. The hill may be steep. The desert may be dry and barren, yet the Word of God declares to us God's purpose is not to destroy us. His purpose is only for our good. Isn't that what the Word of God declares to us? He said, "I'll make an everlasting covenant with them and not turn away from them to do them good." So what is He doing for you right now? What is He doing for me right now? Good. Good. He's doing good. And He said this, "I'll put fear, my fear in their hearts." What is that? He said, "I'm going to put love, honor, and reverence for me in their hearts. And they shall not depart from me." They won't leave the faith. "Yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good." Always. In all things, I will rejoice. I will be happy to do them good. Always. In Jeremiah 29 and verse 11, He said, "I know my thoughts for you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. to give you an expected end. An expected end. So then, let us see to murmur, to be discontent with God's providence is nothing short of treason. Is it not? What has He given you? And yet we would want more than He deems good. We murmur. If we are discontent and murmur against God, I want you to know this. You need to be ready for chastisement. Let me get to that in just a second. Believer, if we are found lusting after the flesh of this world, God will surely chasten His children. Has the light bread of the gospel, the simplicity of the gospel, lost its flavor? You know why? Because we have lusted after the flesh. We've longed for something more than Christ. Secondly, discontentment will never satisfy. You know, one thing about discontentment, it breeds discontentment. They that have silver will never be satisfied with silver, is what Solomon said. He said, you give them silver? They said, hey, I want more silver. Give them more silver, guess what? They're not satisfied. I got to have gold. It's not going to be enough. It's never enough. Now, Israel lusted for this meat. They loathed the manna. So God gave them what they wanted. God gave them what they lusted for. I'm going to tell you about this. When you are discontent and God gives you what you want, it's not a blessing. When you murmur and God gives you what you want, it is not a blessing. This is exactly what happened to these people. They lusted for meat, and what did God do? He gave them meat. He gave them. It was not a gift. It was rather for their pain, their sorrow. There was a professing believer that was discontent with his job. He's discontent with his wife, discontent with his family. This man, he professed to love the gospel, and all of a sudden the gospel became cold and dead in his ear. His heart that once seemed to burn and love for Christ became dark and dormant and lifeless. And he said, like these people, my soul is dried up. My soul is dried up. And there's nothing but this gospel. And so he desired more. He desired more success at work. He desired more than just his wife. He desired more than just his family. He desired more. And you know what God gave him? God gave him what he wanted. God gave him what he wanted. He gave him the world. And you know what God gives the world? What does a man do? He leaves the gospel. He leaves the gospel. That's exactly what this man did. It was not a blessing. It was rather a curse. Now we know this surely happens to false professors, but what about true believers? I'll tell you this. We too lust. We too murmur. And God at times gives us what we want. There's a king in 1 Kings chapter 15 named Asa. Now Asa was a man that loved God. He was a believer in Jesus Christ. The Scripture says this in 1 Kings 15, 14. He said, but the high places were not removed. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was perfect with the Lord in his days. Now, Asa was a man whose heart was perfect with the Lord. But what happened? He did not remove the idols. And yet, once more, he coveted the stores and trees of this land in Ramah. there was a land of Ramah, and Asa looked over there and he said, you know what? I want that. And what he did is he made league with God's enemies. He made league with God's enemies to take it. And you know what? God sent that prophet. God sent a prophet to rebuke him. God sent a prophet to rebuke Asa. And, you know, that man, he did not repent. God then sent chastisement upon him. Matter of fact, it said, the Scripture says that if he would have prayed, God would have delivered him from the gout. And yet he died. He died. So I'll tell you this, God's people, when we murmur, we too can be like anyone else. We can sin like them. But listen, one thing about God's people is this. God will always, this is the third thing, God may give you as a believer what you want and it's going to turn ill for you, but I know this. If you're a true believer, God will always chasten you. He will always chasten His children. The child of God is prone to all sin except blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. We're prone to murmur. We're prone to complain. But I tell you, there's a fine line between apostate and a murmuring child of God. There's a fine line. It's so fine that we cannot tell the difference. Isn't that right? At times, you cannot tell the difference between an apostate and a child of God. By looking, by our discernment, we cannot tell. Therefore, we see those that were burned in this chapter, in our text, those that were burned without the camp, those that were smote by the wrath of God when they ate this flesh, they were mixed. Some of them were believers. Some of them weren't. Some of them weren't. And see then, if God gives us the desires of our flesh, you can bet this, He will also give His people leanness of soul. He will cause His people to be chastened. Chastened. In Psalm 106, verse 13, it says, they forget the works of God. They waited not for His counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And listen, He gave them their requests. But concerning His people, He gave them leanness of soul. What is the worst thing for a child of God? It is when God hides His face. When I can't tell whether I'm a believer or an apostate. Isn't that the worst thing? Remember the apostles when Jesus said, one of you shall betray me. What was the heart of those 11? Is it me? Am I just a murmuring child of God or am I an apostate? Sometimes God hides His face and we can't tell. We can't tell. What then is the difference? The difference is simply this. God will chasten His children. He will chasten His children. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. Read this with me. And then I'm going to give you, after this, I'm going to give you the remedy for it. Hebrews chapter 12. And verse 3. The Scripture recommends, the Scripture exhorts us who are believers, who believe in Christ. Listen, He said, consider Him that endures such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. What did He say? Consider Christ. Consider Christ. What is He saying? Eat the manna. Don't lust after the flesh. Don't murmur and complain. Eat the manna. Consider Him. Set your eyes on Christ. Fix your eyes on Him. Embrace Him. Why? You're going to faint if you don't. You'll faint in the way. And so he says, consider that we in trials, Paul said, you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children. My son, despise thou not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. Listen, have you fallen into murmuring? Have you lusted, despising the manna? Have you been consumed by your sin? If God is not chastening you, you need to worry. You should worry. Why? Look at this next part. For whom the Lord loveth, what happens? Chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. The sting and sorrow of sin is great, and God often brings dire consequences because of our sin, because of our murmuring. Listen, 23,000 people were killed that day when they ate this flesh. Over 23,000 people were killed, mixed multitude. Some of them were believers. Remember the consequences of David's sin? He lost his kingdom. He lost 3 of his sons. And much more. Though the consequences of our sin and chastisement are great, yet, listen to this. God does it because He loves you. God chastens whom He loves. What was the difference between Peter and Judas? They both betrayed the Lord, didn't they? They both denied Him. They both left the faith. Peter went back fishing. What's the difference? Judas repented to men. Christ came to Peter and rebuked him with love. Isn't that what it was? Isn't that what turned Peter's heart? Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Lord, you know I love you. No, listen. Lovest thou me more than these? Well, Lord, you know that I love you. No, Peter, listen. Lovest thou more than these? And Peter's heart was broken. When God chastens His people, listen, their hearts are broken and they repent. They repent. And lastly, I'm going to ask you this. What do you suppose the remedy for murmuring is? What's the remedy? Here it is. Contentment. Isn't that the remedy? Murmuring, you need what? Contentment. Contentment. Godliness with what? Contentment is great gain. Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be what? Content. If you are content, you are not what? Murmuring. If you are murmuring, you are not content. You can't have it both ways. What is the source of contentment? It's the manna. It's Christ. Christ. Go to Numbers chapter 21 real quickly. Numbers chapter 21. I'll close with this. Listen to what happened in Numbers 21. Because they still didn't learn a lesson. I mean, how many times did God teach us this lesson and we still murmur? Numbers chapter 21. And look at verse 4. And they journeyed and went by Hor, by the way of the Red Sea, to compass the land of Edom. And the souls of the people were discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against Moses, saying, wherefore you have brought us out of the land of Egypt to die in this wilderness? Listen, for there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth what? Manna. You know what God did? God sent those serpents. God sent those fiery serpents to bite them. And look at verse 7. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, what? We have sinned. Remedy for murmuring. Here it is. We have sinned. Come to Christ and confess. We have sinned. and we have spoken against the Lord and against thee, pray the Lord that he take away the serpent from us. In other words, we need Christ to intercede. And you know what he did? He took that brazen serpent and he put it on a pole and he set it up and what? Look and live. Friends, the remedy for murmuring is simple. It's Christ. It's the thing you despised when you lusted. When you lusted, when you murmured, you despised Christ. You wanted more. The remedy is get rid of the more, return to Christ. That's a remedy. The simplicity of the gospel, the singleness of the gospel, Christ. We need Christ. And I'll tell you this, then we can have joy. Then we can have contentment. Then we can have peace. If we have Christ. Have Christ, no murmuring. Are you content with Him? Or do you want more? God help us be content with Him. Our gracious Father, dismiss us with your blessing. Keep our lips from murmuring. I do pray this in Christ's name. Amen.